Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, we agonise all the time in Ireland about how we can revitalise the use of language in this country, particularly how we can give young people a love of it. Clearly, what we're doing now isn't working so well. So what can we learn from Wales, where the Welsh are now, is where we would like to be, possibly. The Fianna Fáil TD, Shane Monaghan, is just back from a visit there. Afternoon, Shane.
Hi, Sean. How are things?
Not too bad. Could you give us any kind of sense of how much the use of Welsh in Wales has been reactivated and the degree of its usage now, its daily usage?
Well, I think there's, according to the latest Welsh census, there's almost 600,000 people in Wales who say they can speak Welsh and speak Welsh on a regular basis. But I think from the visits that I was on with my colleagues in the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Gaeltacht and the Irish-speaking community, one of the things we saw was that the effort to revitalise Welsh is kind of all leading towards a national target of having a million Welsh speakers by the year 2050. And that's kind of now seen across every arm of Welsh government and the Welsh local authorities and the Welsh education system to try and deliver that. And I think one of the things that I learned from how they're doing it is it's not about necessarily protecting Welsh for that sake, but it's about making people able to live their life or have fun or enjoy spending time with their friends and families, and they just happen to do it through Welsh.
Yeah. Now, when they say Welsh speaker, because you could, you know, there's lots of surveys that have been done here where people say, I can speak a bit of Irish, but, you know, they never use it. And what they mean is a few random words that they just remember from school.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing we talk about in Ireland is people who use it in education and people who use it outside education. But certainly from my experience of speaking to a lot of people, and you just happen across the fact that they have fluent Irish, and they would say, it's exactly as you say, Sean, I don't get the opportunity to speak it, or I don't know how to engage with other people who do speak it. And what they're doing in Wales, which is really interesting, is they're taking a really kind of innovative approach towards cultural, music-based, recreational activities that encourage people to come and have fun and to do something fun that just happens to be in Welsh. So it almost becomes like a second sense that you're engaging in the language that you're learning. And that's why I think what we saw in education and what we've done, I think, well, with regard to immersion education in Ireland, is by teaching people, and it just happens to be through either Welsh or Irish. So I think it's giving people those forums to engage and to have fun. It just happens to be in the second language.
Yeah,
I think the other thing. Sorry, go on.
No. Continue what you were going to say there.
And I think the other thing that kind of I walked away with is they don't think of we're just going to, you know, showcase Welsh. It's about also talking about the benefits of bilingualism, because if we go to countries like Sweden or Netherlands, where, you know, you're almost amazed by they speak perfect English back to you, but they also speak Dutch to their family and friends. And it's not that it's one or the other. And I think sometimes in Ireland, we don't extol the virtues of why it's really important to be bilingual or the great benefits that come from having bilingualism or that ability then to pick up languages again later in life.
Yeah. I was just wondering about in Wales, what is, generally speaking, the model of teaching it to kids?
So they have an immersion model of education. So there'll be Welsh language primary schools, there's Welsh language secondary schools. We visited a further education college in Wrexham that had tuition for people that are entering in further education and training. There's universities where they provide third level courses as well. Now, there are also English language primary schools as well, and Welsh is taught up to 16. But what I think they're really trying to do is to create that framework outside of the school to encourage people to speak Welsh. And that learning is being taken here in Ireland. So there's a really cool program in being led by Dublin City Council, Gaeilge Trí Chéad Chuaigh, which is doing exactly that, creating activities like swimming lessons or library visits that are just done through the medium of Irish. So like I was saying earlier, having fun just happens to be done through Irish.
Yeah.
And that's the same approach being taken with Welsh. And the school is being used as a linchpin to drive a lot of that out around the community.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say there's just a hell of a lot more of it in Wales than there would be in Irish or in Ireland?
Yeah. I mean, they're at a place in their journey where we're probably looking to get to be honest. And there's a kind of a real attitude shift in terms of it is seen as something that's very valuable. Not saying that's not the view we have of in Ireland, but I think some people might have a negative view of how it was taught to them in school or negative memories of how it was taught to them in school. I think the shift here is when you see a child speaking Irish, my oldest started in the Gaeltacht school 2 years ago, he's now coming home having conversations in Irish with me. That's an amazing feeling, and it's a beautiful feeling. And I want him now to get into a situation where he doesn't feel, you know, any different when he's speaking to me in Irish or English. He's speaking to his siblings. That I think is what we need, to that positive kind of feeling of, you know, being bilingual, having proficiency in Irish is actually a really valuable and beautiful thing. And watching children in Wales speak Welsh to each other, and in many cases, some of whom have come from abroad. So they would have come into the Welsh education system at 10 or 11 or 12, and they're taken to what are called intensive immersion units, where they're kind of brought up to the skill of Welsh, to have fluent Welsh. And I think that's a really, really powerful thing to see. And, you know, in my own constituency, we have a school called Gaelscoil Lear, where we have a number of children who are staying the IPASS or have come to Ireland from abroad who wouldn't speak English, but are now fluent in Irish. So we do see the kind of the kernels of that as well. But I think in Wales, we have a lot of learning of how do we celebrate that bilingualism and how do we make it fun to do things that just happen to be through Welsh or, in our case, Irish.
Yeah, it's funny. Just as you were saying that, a text came in from someone saying, I'm a primary school teacher. The majority kids with foreign parents pick up Irish far faster than their classmates with Irish parents. I imagine it's because they're already multilingual, but their parents don't speak it, and that doesn't hold them back.
Could there also be, Shane, a kind of an almost...
Because kids, whatever model kids are learning Irish through these days, their parents, as you mentioned earlier on, might have this negative memory of it. And so therefore, they're maybe not going to be encouraging it at home. They're not discouraging it, but they're a bit indifferent to it.
I think in fairness to all parents I've met whose children are going to Irish or Gaelscoil or Gaelscoilte are very positive towards it. And they kind of leave that at the door in terms of their previous experience. I think one thing that's actually helped a lot in Ireland in the last few years has been the amount of advertising that we hear in Irish on radio, on television, in print, because public bodies now have to do a certain percentage of their advertising in Irish. I think that's brought it alive and it's actually normalised it quite a bit, that you hear kind of words that you recognise from when you were in school, when you're driving the car or you're getting the bus into work, and you kind of hear an ad in Irish. And that kind of just, I mean, normalises and makes it and lets it seem alive, because it is a living language in parts of the country still as well. And I think that positive disposition and kind of taking out of, you know, a bad experience you might have had with a novel in Irish, or, you know, not quite getting the hang of the Tishil Ginnadoc or the Mo Coneeloc, not to let those things get in the way. I think actually this is where I really want to celebrate our teachers who are using more informal Irish in the classroom. So even in the morning, saying to your kids, has everybody got their Mála Scoile? Have you put your brogy on? And Yaki Thugadine Letters, using those little phrases at home. You don't have to be fluent, but I think creating that positive disposition and creating that curiosity, because kids suck languages up really, really quickly. And I think we create the environment where it's a really positive thing for them to do that. That helps. The state can certainly support with education. We need to do more, certainly, around the provision of second level education and third level education. But I think also in terms of encouraging that Gaeilge Nath Ar Mhúl, the informal Irish. And if someone doesn't get it perfect, that's fine. But it's encouraging the effort as opposed to getting the Gramadoc I Gearrthi Gonaí.
Yeah. In Wales, do they have the equivalent of Gaeltacht areas, or are they just aiming for everyone to be bilingual?
So they have areas in the northern part of Wales in particular where Welsh is still a community language, and they're looking to get them special status. They wouldn't be identically equivalent to the way that we've structured the Gaeltacht here. So they would look with envy on what Uadhrás na Gaeltacht has done in terms of high skilled employment to Gaeltacht areas and attracting businesses there as well. So they haven't got that, but they have set up government commissions to look at how they maintain Welsh as a spoken language, as a community language. And that's something that I think they're looking for from our experience with the Gaeltacht as well. But I think we spent 2 days in Cardiff, and one thing that's really striking in Cardiff is that Cardiff wouldn't have been seen as kind of one of the traditionally stronger Welsh speaking areas. And that's where a revolution is happening in terms of the approach schools are taking, the approaches being taken in kind of cultural space, in terms of young youth clubs being set up through Welsh, arts festivals being done through Welsh, even the bilingual signage where you have parity, the same, the font is the same size on the signs, all that sort of, it's the atmosphere around it is that Welsh is important, but it's an ability for Welsh citizens to be able to be bilingual. And that's something that's celebrated and a good thing in and of itself. So it's not speak Irish, not English. It's more speak Irish because it's a beautiful language. But being bilingual is actually a really good thing for you and for your kids in terms of how you approach the future.
Yeah. So it requires kind of a buy-in from everybody to do this.
For sure, from the buy-in from parents, from children, from the state as well. I mean, the state has a target where we have to have 20% of our employees in state services fluent in Irish by 2030. We have a big challenge to get there. But I think that's about then what I would call letting people have their carta tanga, their language rights, that they can engage in the state in the language that they choose. It's simple things like enabling the Sheena Fada when you're booking an airline ticket, or interfacing with the state agency. Little things like that are really important and shouldn't be undervalued. But I think the question of buy-in is about attitude, and that's why things like the Irish language advertising, like the really positive stories we saw of Welsh language education in Wales, they create this sentiment of this is a good thing. And it isn't something that, you know, there's no agenda behind it. It is a good thing. It is a beautiful language. And as someone said during the trip, you think differently in different languages. So when I'm thinking in English, I think in a different way to the way that I think in Irish, because of the way the words are set up and the way that we use idioms in both languages and the way that we approach different things. And I think that way to shift how you think in your mind is, again, a really important benefit of bilingualism, and something that I think we should benefit from. So to everyone, especially for Shocked in the Great, I'd say use the Cúpla Focal at home. And if you don't get it right, do it again the next time, and do it again, and keep using it, and keep creating that really positive sentiment. And ask the kids for the Mála Scoile in the morning. Ask them their sheet of breakfast, and tell them then it's Am Dul Uile Agus Dul Gutinn Laba.
When you were there as well, because I mean, there be a lot of words in Scots Gaelic where, you know, it all sounds very similar. Is Welsh completely alien to Irish? Can you pick up any words
there? There's some words that are the same. So I think there'd be a lot of kind of words that would be taken from Latin that would have travelled into Welsh. But I think Welsh would be more similar to Cornish and Breton in terms of the Celtic languages, whereas Irish would be more similar to Scots Gaelic and maybe less so Manx in terms of its links. But I mean, things like Beck and Moore would be big and small and big in Welsh, would be similar to Beag agus Mór in Irish. But then other things like good morning, for example, would be Bari Dá in Welsh. Diagwich Imagine or Majin Mwa is what we say in Irish. Gura Mahagat is what we say. Diolk, they have one word for thank you in Welsh. So they are quite different. But then there are some links where kind of there would be a French influence or a Latin influence on the words that they use. So I wouldn't say I feel fully proficient having a pint with someone in Wales. But we probably get the general gist of it, I'd say, if we had a television as a common point of reference to point out and to laugh about as well.
Shane, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was the Fianna Fáil TD, Shane Moynihan there. A lot of comments on this. My kids are in a Gael school and are fluent in Irish without even realising it. Recently, I spoke with a parent whose child in first year, after 8 years in the same Gael school, failed his Irish test at Christmas. The majority of Gael school pass pupils fail this test, averaging a 20% result. Why? Because the test concentrated on grammar, not fluency. I think this is why people turn away from speaking Irish as adults. How can a language be taught when the emphasis is on grammar and the teachers aren't even fluent enough to teach it? Says his texter. Ooh, yeah. As someone else says, I think there's been a resurgence of the Irish language, and a couple of my adult friends are keen to learn or relearn a Cúpla Focal. It's all very positive. All welcome to the Craft Maker Space in Mary Immaculate College this Saturday at 2, where we are doing a Lego workshop as Gaeilge, celebrating Engineers Week and Seachtain na Gaeilge. There you go. Good plug. Well done. My daughter is dyslexic. Are there any classes that can help her? She won't learn Irish when she goes to secondary school, but she still wants to keep it up in some way. We, her parents, don't speak Irish. That's a good question. If anyone has a potential answer to that, please let us know.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.